often the purpose of the unconscious, and that in any case it warrants a conclusion as to the secret disposition of the person who forgets. A young woman who is accustomed to receive a bunch of flowers from her husband on her birthday misses this token of affection on a festive occasion of this sort, and thereupon bursts into tears. The husband comes up, and is unable to account for her tears until she tells him, "Today is my birthday." He strikes his forehead and cries, "Why, I had completely forgotten it," and wants to go out to get her some flowers. But she is not to be consoled, for she sees in the forgetfulness of her husband a proof that she does not play the same part in his thoughts as formerly. This Mrs. L. met my wife 2 days before, and told her that she was feeling well, and asked about me. She was under my treatment years ago. Supplementary facts. I once actually wrote something like a monograph on a plant, namely an essay on the coca plant, which drew the attention of K. Koller to the anesthetic properties of cocaine. I had hinted at this use of the alkaloid in my publication, but I was not sufficiently thorough to pursue the matter further. This suggests that on the forenoon of the day after the dream, for the interpretation of which I did not find time until the evening, I had thought of cocaine in a kind of day fantasy. In case I should ever be afflicted with glaucoma, I was going to go to Berlin and there have myself operated upon incognito at the house of my Berlin friend by a physician whom he would recommend to me. The surgeon, who would not know upon whom he was operating, would boast, as usual, how easy these operations had become since the introduction of cocaine. I would not betray by a single sign that I had had a share in making this discovery. With this fantasy were connected thoughts of how difficult it really is for a doctor to claim the medical services of a colleague for his own person. I should be able to pay the Berlin eye specialist, who did not know me, like anyone else. Only after recalling this daydream do I realize that the recollection of a definite experience is concealed behind it. Shortly after Koller's discovery, my father had, in fact, become ill with glaucoma. He was operated upon by my friend, the eye specialist, Dr. Koenigstein. Dr. Koller attended to the cocaine anesthetization, and thereupon made the remark that all three of the persons who had shared in the introduction of cocaine had been brought together on one case. I now proceed to think of the time when I was last reminded of this affair about the cocaine. This was a few days before, when I received a Festschrift, with whose publication grateful scholars had commemorated the anniversary of their teacher and laboratory director. Among the honours ascribed to persons connected with the laboratory, I found a notice to the effect that the discovery of the anesthetic properties of cocaine had been made there by K. Koller. Now I suddenly become aware that the dream is connected with an experience of the previous evening. I had just accompanied Dr. Koenigstein to his home, and had spoken to him about a matter which strongly arouses my interest whenever it is mentioned. While I was talking with him in the vestibule, Professor Gärtner and his young wife came up. I could not refrain from congratulating them both upon their healthy appearance. Now, Professor Gärtner is one of the authors of the Festschrift of which I have just spoken, and may well have recalled it to me. Likewise, Mrs. L., whose birthday disappointment I have referred to, had been mentioned, in another connection, to be sure, in the conversation with Dr. Koenigstein. I shall now try to explain the other determinations of the dream content. A dried specimen of the plant accompanies the monograph as though it were a herbarium. A recollection of the gymnasium school is connected with the herbarium. The director of our gymnasium once called the scholars of the higher classes together in order to have them inspect and clean the herbarium. Small worms had been found, bookworms. The director did not seem to have much confidence in my help, for he left only a few leaves for me. I know to this day that there were crucifers on them. My interest in botany was never very great. At my preliminary examination in botany, I was required to identify a crucifer and did not recognize it. I would have fared badly if my theoretical knowledge had not helped me out. Crucifers suggest composites. The artichoke is really a composite, and the one which I might call my favourite flower. My wife, who is more thoughtful than I, often brings this favourite flower of mine home from the market. I see the monograph which I have written lying before me. This, too, is not without its reference. The friend whom I pictured wrote to me yesterday from Berlin, "I think a great deal about your dream book. I see it lying before me finished, and am turning over its leaves." How I envied him this prophetic power, if I could only see it lying already finished before me. The folded coloured plate. While I was a student of medicine, I suffered much from a fondness for studying in monographs exclusively. In spite of my limited means, I subscribed to a number of the medical archives, in which the coloured plates gave me much delight. I was proud of this inclination for thoroughness. So, when I began to publish on my own account, I had to draw the plates for my own treatises, and I remember one of them turned out so badly that a kindly disposed colleague ridiculed me for it. This suggests, I don't know exactly how, a very early memory from my youth. My father once thought it would be a joke to hand over a book with coloured plates, description of a journey in Persia, to me and my eldest sister for destruction. This was hardly to be justified from an educational point of view. I was at the time 5 years old, and my sister 3, and the picture of our blissfully tearing this book to pieces, like an artichoke, I must add, leaf by leaf, is almost the only one from this time of life which has remained fresh in my memory. When I afterwards became a student, I developed a distinct fondness for collecting and possessing books, an analogy to the inclination for studying from monographs, a hobby which occurs in the dream thoughts with reference to cyclamen and artichoke. I became a bookworm, cf. Herbarium. I have always referred this first passion of my life, since I am engaging in retrospect, to this childhood impression, or rather I have recognized in this childish scene a concealing recollection for my subsequent love of books. Of course, I also learned at an early age that our passions are often our sorrows. When I was 17 years old, I had a very respectable bill at the bookstore, and no means with which to pay it. And my father would hardly accept the excuse that my inclination had not been fixed on something worse. But the mention of this later youthful experience immediately brings me back to my conversation that evening with my friend Dr. Koenigstein. For the talk on the evening of the dream day brought up the same old reproach that I am too fond of my hobbies. For reasons which do not belong here, I shall not continue the interpretation of this dream, but shall simply indicate the path which leads to it. In the course of the interpretation, I was reminded of my conversation with Dr. Koenigstein, and indeed of more than one portion of it. If I consider the subjects touched upon in this conversation, the meaning of the dream becomes clear to me. All the thought associations which have been started, about the hobbies of my wife and of myself, about the cocaine, about the difficulty of securing medical treatment from one's colleagues, my preference for